A-M-O-C-O, Amoco. Amoco presents the Edward R. Murrow Program with Don Hollenbeck. This morning's newspapers had a lot of stories about automobile accidents. And not one person on the casualty list ever thought he would be hurt in a highway crash. He probably thought accidents always happen only to other people. But there his name is, right in the list of injured or dead. Keep your name out of that list. When you drive, drive safely. Don't take chances. Remember, the life you save may be your own. And now here is Don Hollenbeck with the news.
Good evening. At Fort Dix, New Jersey this afternoon, a jet training plane hit a truck full of soldiers. 10 men were killed, the 2 in the plane and 8 in or near the truck. 7 men were injured, some seriously. All names have been withheld pending notification of families. The jet was from McGuire Air Base, which adjoins Fort Dix, and the accident happened on a takeoff. The plane struck a wooded area used as an outdoor training school, and the wire-laying party was at the scene at the time. 2 reports were issued today on the recent Senate investigation of the Reconstruction Finance Corporation and its connections with politics. The reports were issued by the 5 senators who formed the subcommittee investigating the RFC. One of those reports signed by the Democrats, Fulbright of Arkansas, the chairman, Douglas of Illinois, Breer of Delaware. That report found in general terms that the Reconstruction Finance Corporation had fallen a prey to political influence with White House contacts, and that the findings of the subcommittee at earlier hearings, those President Truman had called asinine, the ones where the stories about the mink coat were told, had been fully substantiated by the more recent investigation. The report then went on to recommend stricter laws for government lending and a study of the need for the RFC. But it was the other report that made the news today. It was signed by Senators Capehart of Indiana and Bricker of Ohio, the Republican members of the subcommittee, and it was more than 3 times as long as the majority report and about 10 times as vivid. So vivid that Senator Fulbright said it was so partisan he regretted it had to be printed at public expense. But printed it is, and a hot political issue. We asked Senators Capehart and Fulbright to record for us a summary of their points of view, and they obliged. We hear Senator Capehart first.
Our investigation of the RFC shows that President Truman and his Democratic National Committee chairman have transferred Pendergrass politics to the national level. The investigation shows that the president and his party chairman, William Boyle, have let morality in government decline to the lowest ebb in the nation's history. We demand a full congressional investigation of Boyle. Boyle is the fountainhead of favoritism and influence. It is entirely possible that an all-out investigation would uncover new scandals. Presidential aide Donald Dawson has been shown to have used his influence, too, in the matter of RFC loans. The time has come to consider curbs on the activities of the Democratic Party's National Committee in government.
And now for the Democratic majority, Senator Fulbright of Arkansas.
I recognize the power and the right of the Republican members of this committee to indulge in as scurrilous an indictment of the Democratic administration as they please. However, I do not feel that it is my duty to recommend to the Senate that it publish as a Senate document material which I think is irrelevant to the subject matter of the majority report and is unduly abusive of individuals who no longer are public figures. Throughout the nearly 2 years of hearings, the members of the subcommittee worked in harmony with remarkably little partisanship or disagreement. There was no intimation from the minority members that the inquiry was not conducted impartially, objectively, and with full respect for the rights of the minority. As an example of the extreme partisan political character of the report, it purports to present a thorough review of revelations of the subcommittee, yet it overlooks one of the most interesting examples of private enrichment of a Republican member of the Senate, while at the same time rehashing at length a case involving a Democratic member.
Senator Fulbright did not elaborate on the reference to the private enrichment of a Republican member of the Senate. But at the earlier hearings, his subcommittee had taken testimony to the effect that Senator McCarthy of Wisconsin had been paid $10,000 by the Lustran Corporation, an RFC borrower, for a pamphlet he had written about prefabricated housing. Another congressional investigation involving politics and money is under consideration. The staff of the House Judiciary Committee has recommended an inquiry to determine how former personnel of the Securities and Exchange Commission got to be high officials of United Corporation, a utilities holding company. Representative Walter of Pennsylvania says there have been a good many cases where agency workers left jobs to take private employment. Subsequently, their new employers obtained favors from their old government agencies. Walter is the author of a bill which would forbid a government employee from taking a job for 2 years with any firm that the employee or his agency had dealt with. Representative Walter has declined to make public the report of the committee's staff, but Bert Andrews, writing in the New York Herald Tribune today, says the report thinks, for one thing, the committee ought to try to find out how it came about that the president, the vice president, the senior counsel, and assistant to the president of the United Corporation are all former employees of the Securities and Exchange Commission. The House Un-American Activities Committee today heard the story of Oliver Edmund Club, suspended from his job as chief of the State Department's China section, pending the result of a hearing by the Loyalty and Security Board. Club's hearing was held 3 weeks ago. The findings have not yet been made public. And today, he told the committee how, in 1933, when he was home on leave from State Department duty in China, he dropped in at the office of the New Masses in New York and had a visit with Whitaker Chambers. Club had earlier denied ever meeting the confessed Soviet spy whose testimony sent Alger Hiss to prison for perjury, but he said today a reference to his diary had refreshed his memory. That diary described Chambers as a shifty-eyed, unkempt creature who, nevertheless, showed considerable force and direction in asking about the communist movement in China. And Club said he asked Chambers about conditions in the United States. But the State Department employee said he felt he was masquerading under false pretenses, said he felt too much like a stranger at the New Masses office to show the proper revolutionary enthusiasm. He explained his visit to the publication, the diary called it a horrible rag in a ramshackle place, by saying that he liked to meet new people when he was home on leave to get a picture of conditions in the United States. He said it was his understanding the department wanted its employees to acquaint themselves with what had been happening here in their absence. The Senate Internal Security Committee has concluded a series of hearings on subversive activities in the United States, and its chairman, McCarran of Nevada, writes his report today. He says there are possibly 5 million aliens illegally in this country, creating a situation potentially more dangerous than an armed invasion. Among these aliens, McCarran says, there are militant communists, Sicilian bandits, and other criminals all ready to provide an enemy nation with a ready-made fifth column. The senator says his information comes from secret testimony by immigration officials who do not have sufficient funds or manpower to round up and deport the unwanted foreigners. In a separate statement, Senator O'Connor of the committee says that Ontario and Cuba are assembly points for aliens who hope to be smuggled into this country, and he said there are about 250,000 of them waiting in Cuba now, many of them communists. At an extra session of the committee today, members were told by a Japanese police official visiting this country that a communist spy ring had helped persuade Japan to attack the United States and had kept Russia informed. The Korean ceasefire negotiations, from which we heard the sound of geniality and good fellowship before the weekend, have turned sour again, tied up this time by a fracas in the neutral zone, which the communists blame on the Allies, but which the Allied command attributes to Korean civilians trying to sabotage the conference. If that was the purpose, it has succeeded momentarily at any rate. The meetings of the subcommittees are continuing without notable progress, while the North Korean General Nam Il demands an explanation of the shooting of the Chinese patrol leader, and General Ridgway has gone no further than to suggest that perhaps the attack was staged by civilian guerrillas, pointedly leaving open to conjecture that these civilians might have been overheated South Koreans determined to block any truce settlement which leaves their country divided. President Truman asked Congress today to appropriate $400 million for the relief and rehabilitation of flood victims in the Middle West. He said that region is of such importance to the nation's welfare that its recovery must be speeded, and for expedition, Vice President Barkley referred the legislation at once to the Senate Public Works and Appropriations Committees instead of to just one at a time. The president said some of the money would have to be used to pay individual grants to those who lost everything in the floods. There is provision for loans, but he pointed out some people had nothing left to put up as security. He also asked a federally financed flood insurance plan. Another job of rehabilitation faced by the British West Indian island colony of Jamaica, about twice the size of Delaware with a population of 1.5 million. The hurricane which struck it over the weekend killed more than 100 people, destroyed 90% of the banana crop, did heavy damage to sugar and coconut plantations, and in the slum area of Kingston, leveled most of the houses. The storm moved on to the Mexican peninsular state of Yucatan, and reports of damage there are incomplete. The storm is now moving at increased speed into the Gulf of Mexico in the general direction of the mouth of the Rio Grande, which separates Texas and Mexico. President Truman today passed along to Congress the recent response of Soviet President Shvernik to the resolution professing friendship for the Russian people and belatedly made public in Russia on the occasion of Shvernik's suggestion for a new five-power peace pact. In passing the reply along, the president said the Russians seem not to have got the idea of what this country is driving at, or if they have, they are misrepresenting it. He suggested to Congress a good way to overcome that error and misrepresentation would be to restore the $30 million cut from the appropriations for the Voice of America. The president said the Russian documents gave no assurance of changes in the hostile and expansionist policies of the Soviet Union, which threaten world peace. He suggested that Moscow stop flouting the authority of the United Nations, be more liberal with human rights, join in good faith in seeking disarmament and control of atomic energy. The American Chemical Society is a venerable organization, 75 years old next month. And in honor of the occasion, some of its members hazard a few guesses about what science is going to bring to the world in the next 75 years. Many of us old enough to stay up and broadcast or listen to broadcasts at this hour will not be here at that moment, and if we are, we may be too old and weary to care. But perhaps for the future information of the very young who have already retired, we may say the scientists think they will have in 75 years figured out a cure for the common cold. Cures are preventives for infantile paralysis, mental illnesses, and allergies. The chemistry of cancer will no longer be a mystery, they think. The hardening of the arteries and the arthritis that make life painful and sometimes overlong may have been solved. Foods will be built up synthetically from carbon dioxide, water, and ammonia with the help of solar radiation. It's possible that a well-hung piece of game or a side of beef may be unheard of, or something to be savored secretly as a kind of vice. That generation will probably never know the taste of a true camembert or liederkranz. The ammonia industry will have taken over. The best beef animals will be fed on cellulose from sawdust, and whatever savor comes from a diet of corn or manteca grass will have long since been forgotten. This is Don Hollenbeck. I'll be back in a moment with a footnote to the news. Now, here's Bob Dixon.
When your carburetor injects gasoline into your car's cylinders and the spark plug ignites it, you naturally would expect the gas to burn. It does, but it doesn't all burn. Some of it is left behind and turns up later as engine deposits. These deposits, engineers say, contribute a lot to engine wear. The smart thing to do is to prevent these deposits from forming by using a motor fuel that burns completely. Use Amoco gas. This is the one really special motor fuel, different from all others, not only in ingredients, but in the way it's made. Amoco gas is all petroleum, and it leaves no metallic deposit. Your engine stays cleaner, runs more economically. Your upkeep costs are less, too, because Amoco gas leaves no metallic deposit. If you've been using Amoco gas, you know the truth about this wonderful special motor fuel. If you haven't been using it, well, it's high time you did, for it's high time you began to enjoy all the fine performance and economy your car was designed to give you. Now here's Don Hollenbeck with the footnote to the day's news.
The United States Senate today completed legislative action on House Roll 4601, sent it to the White House for President Truman's signature. House Roll 4601 exempts members of the armed services from paying the 20% admissions tax if they have been given passes to a theater or other place of amusement. A similar measure was in effect in World War II. And that's the footnote to the news.
Here's something for every user of regular gas to remember. There's a difference in regular gasolines, just as there is in premium gasolines. One regular gas stands out as the best of the regulars. It's American Gas, made by the makers of Amoco Gas to give faster starts, smoother pickup, long mileage. For American Gas, for all famous Amoco products, stop at the Amoco oval sign of greater values from Maine to Florida. Tune in to Don Hollenbeck tomorrow. This is the CBS Radio Network.